How y'all doing sitting in your seats? You all good? Yeah? All right. Well, I want to welcome everybody in the room. New faces, faces I'm familiar with, faces I haven't seen for a while, and all of the people that are online. Did you guys, what do you think about that? You know, like over anywhere on any given Sunday from 175 up to 500 people watching us online. That's crazy, right? Makes you think of what David Roos said. He shared a story about being with in the evangelical group and pastors from all over the world coming together and saying, you know, we've lost our voice. And he said, I'll tell you what, we may have lost our voice a long time ago, but we're being watched. We're being watched. The world is watching us. He goes, not in a creepy kind of way, but, you know. And what did he say to us? We're watching you, Cambridge Vineyard. Not in a creepy kind of way, but we are watching you. So, hi, everybody online. Hi, Mom and Dad. Love you. And my sister's probably online, too. All right. So, last week, I just want to tell a couple of stories before I actually jump in. This is all about storytelling today. Are you ready? Okay, good. Last week, at the end of service, Christine and I and some peeps, we went over to these houses over here, our new neighbors that have just come in. Last week, we went to over there and we gave away chocolate, like big chocolate bars. We knocked on doors and it was pretty awesome to meet all our neighbors. Christine took one side and I took another side. We each had people with us and they were surprised that the pastors of this church would actually knock on their door. They were surprised that we were giving out chocolate bars with no strings attached. We got to have some conversations with some of these people. I found out one of our neighbor's little boys is allergic to hazelnuts because, of course, I had chocolate bars. But anyways, we had such a good time meeting them. And I said this, like most of them are from India, okay? Asian background. And I said this, I think in the new year, we should throw a party. You guys cook your Indian food. I'll bring my Portuguese food. And they said, oh, Portuguese custards? I'm like, is that all we're known for is Portuguese custards, right? But it was just this transaction. And you know what they said to me? Get a load of this. Like, if this doesn't blow your socks off, because I was here when we had to make the tough decision to sell the property so we could stay here because our tithes and offerings were going down. You remember that? It was traumatic. This is what they said to me. Thank you for selling your property so that we could have a place to live. Talk about flipping something upside down. And in that moment of their gratitude towards us, I found myself in a situation very much like David when he was here, where he said, he's talking about this new immigrant to Canada, his friend that he's developing this friendship with, who was shot and has gun bullet holes with, like, you can see the marks of the bullets. And he was just so thankful and saying, you know, God was with me as I was running and being shot. And I found myself being, just like David said, caught up in the gratitude of our neighbors. And they took something that was very labor intensive and painful and a struggle with real tension that still resides in our body because we carry all that stuff with us, right? And they flipped it for me. And I found myself going, thank you, Jesus, that we made that decision to sell the property so that you could have a home. Isn't that awesome? That is so amazing. And so I'm so looking forward to getting to know our neighbors. And right there in just chitty chattiness came about this fusion meal. You bring your Indian food, I'll bring my Portuguese food, and we'll share. Right? Which reminds me of David talking about gratitude and communal gratitude. I've been up here in 3 weeks. And I wanted to pull some pieces together from when Christine was here, when David spoke, and when Steve was here. This was a fusion of sorts that brought together our past, our present, and our future all in 3 weeks. And I don't know about you guys, but it wasn't intentional, just so you know. I didn't plan it that way. None of us did. It kind of just fell into place that way. And as it fell into place, because I planned on being away for my anniversary, like in a different continent away, and had to change gears once I knew Vineyard Canada was coming. And so it felt like a key. You know those old keys? Yeah, those skeleton keys, like three prongs going into a door, and that a door was going to be unlocked for us. That's what it felt like. And I think we're not going to see the true fruit of it for a little bit of time, but I think it's starting to trickle up. I'm beginning to see things. Okay, so what do I want to talk to you about today? Well, I want to share a little bit of my life with you. On Friday, Mariah graduated from the Toronto Film School. And in fashion design. And we had the privilege of going downtown. And Taylor Swift was also present. And so there was, at 10 o'clock in the morning, all of these lovely people, young and old, dressed up with sparkles. I mean, they were glittery, sparkly. Everybody going to go see Taylor Swift. And here we were going to take in a graduation. And the keynote speaker on Friday was a woman known by, and I'm not really bad with actors' names, just so you know, but her name was Karen Robinson. Does anybody know who Karen Robinson is? This beautiful Black Canadian woman currently is acting for Law and Order Toronto Criminal, blah, 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 if you watch Law and Order. She was on the program Schitt's Creek, if you remember that one, which was filmed in Ontario. Her name on that show was Ronnie. So if you watched that show, Ronnie was her name. And as she spoke, she spoke a sermon. I kid you not. That whole day, the 4 hours that we were there, from beginning to end, was a message that was a sermon that we have heard over the last couple of weeks, culminating here on a Friday. And I am just like, you're preaching what I'm about to get up and say. And I'm writing down what she's saying. And just so you know, if you want to watch it, you can go to the Toronto Film School. It's there at graduation 2024, and you can find her. And she shares this little story. The thing is, she begins to tell people about the power of story. Think about it. The power of story. This is what I want to encourage you with today. The power of story. We come into this world with story. We find ourselves in the story of our lives, in the story of our families, in the stories of friendship. We find ourselves telling stories regularly on a daily basis. We thrive and pay attention when somebody shares a story with us, right? I mean, still on the weekend, people were asking me, what's the story behind when Saoirse almost got hit by a car, right? I can tell you story after story after story of things that happen. Stories surround us. And stories is how Jesus brought forth the gospel. There's something to be said about the power of stories. And guess what? He has equipped every single one of us to be a storyteller. You've got a story. I've got a story. They have a story. Everyone has a story. And most importantly, the Lord has the greatest story of all, called good news. Good news for everyone, for everyone. The story that he tells is one of relationship. It's one of drawing us in to relationship, moving us out of transactional relations with one another. Karen told a story about being on the TTC. And I'm going to grab my little phone. She goes like this. I'm on the TTC, and I am doing this. And then she goes, I stop, and I look up. And I see that everyone on the TTC is doing the very same thing. She said, I bet you some of you are on your phone right now. To which people laugh because, yes, they got caught with their hands in the cookie jar. Like this, texting, you know? And she says, I get it. It's a safe place. You know, you don't have to actually engage in meaningless conversation or make eye contact. It's your safe place. You can Candy Crush and Scrabble. I'm quoting her. You can Candy Crush and Scrabble. You can talk to your mom and your best friend all at the same time because life is happening fast. And her word to future storytellers was this. Pay attention. Lift your head because life is happening and stories are happening all around you. They're at the back of the TTC, you know. They are actually out the window. They are on the street. Pay attention. Caught my attention. Now, I'm not a person who's often on my phones, and if you know me, because my love language is quality time, if I'm with you, I usually have this thing on silent, and it's usually upside down, unless I am expecting something, and I'll tell people, I'm expecting a phone call from one of my staff because this situation is going on, so I'm going to keep this like this, and then as soon as that's done, it's like this, so that I can engage with you. Why? Because I want to see your eyes. I want to hear your story. I want to know what you're going through. I want to empathize, right? I want your story to touch me. And she said that when we pay attention to other people's stories, we learn something about ourselves. But then also we grow in compassion. And we learn about forgiveness. I'm like, this girl is a church girl. I'm certain of it. Or she grew up in church because she preached a sermon that was absolutely awe-inspiring, and she commissioned those future storytellers with purpose and intention. And that is what God does with us. You are no different than those children or youth and young adults or recreators of their destiny who were there that day, over 500 of them receiving their diplomas. We are all storytellers. And all of us have the ability to tell the good story of what God has done. It's called our testimony. And it is a powerful thing. I don't have to think about it when I tell you stories about Jeff or Saoirse or Mariah or Josh or any of my family. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to mull it over my brain, try and get it right, make sure that you know all these little details. I just passionately tell you about my relationship with them. Correct? Okay. Why am I going here? It's in our real stories that actually community is built. It's in our sharing stories that we actually learn to walk with each other. It's in sharing stories, hearts and minds, that we actually build community and belonging. I could pick out a whole bunch of you in this room and talk about stories that I've endured with you guys or listened to. I can tell you about Febreze. I can tell you about these lovely ladies and her week. I can tell you about that. I can tell you about, well, I can tell you, you have a grandson coming. Did you know that? Second grandson's coming for Glenn and Nadine. And they're excited. They're catching up now. I said, you're catching up. You know, most of you, I know a bit of your story and you know a bit of mine because we spent time together. And guess what? As a result, I know you by name. And as a result, we can enter into conversation, no problem. Good to see you back, Zenon. How was your trip? Good. You see, so like I can talk to you and relate with you, no problem. And what happens? The anxiety drops because there's two things that every single person needs: belonging and significance. It was just before Scott went on his, I was going to say sabbatical. Nope, it is a sabbatical. Retirement life, next chapter of his life. It was sometime in August, and I was doing dishes on my day off at home, catching up on housework. God loves to talk to me while I'm doing dishes, all right? Sometimes he tells me things I don't want to hear. One such story was when I was minding my own business, and he said, "Tabitha, I want you to go talk to Laura about Haiti." Remember that, Laura? A million years ago? And out of that, I was the second person to come to her with Haiti, and then started a Haiti trip came out of that, you know, conversation. But I'm doing dishes, and I am remembering an incident and a person in this room. It was a morning where Pam was scheduled to host. Something had happened to her dog. I had to step in last minute. And I'm up here, and in through those doors comes Brian, one of our friends from downstairs. Homeless individual, for those of you who are new to our church, that you would not know, a man experiencing homelessness who loved God but struggled with addiction, was covered in tattoos, and around his neck was the word serenity. Who was in that room that day? Brian comes in through those doors, shirt pulled over his head, bare belly, and as he's walking through the doors, all y'all went, you almost held your breath because you didn't know what to do. And as he came up the aisle, I called him by name. Brian, I'm so glad you're here. There's a seat for you right here in the front. And we began to continue to pray for Pam's dog. And then Brian puts up his hand and he says, "Why are we praying for dogs?" Legitimate question, right? And from the back of the room, I think it was Krista Tilly yells out, "God loves animals. He saved them on the ark." Beautiful. Yes, he did. Awesome. And Brian stuck around for that service. He put his shirt back down. And then guess what? The next day he came and he sat here. And he was here for 3 weeks in a row. Here. Brian. I was thinking about Brian because Brian passed away recently. And I have had many conversations with Brian. I want to tell you the story of Brian because it was while I was thinking about Brian, about his addiction, about the struggle he endured, and yet the desire that he had for God. Every tattoo had a story that had to do with the Lord, even though he was struggling. And if you don't know Brian, you could have been intimidated by who he was and how he presented himself because he loved justice, justice for the marginalized. And on that particular day, he had a different mindset with a different goal to shake us up, but he was welcomed and he found belonging and we knew his name. Now, if you're from my generation, that should bring you to think about Cheers, you know? You know, that show Cheers, where everybody knows your name? Yep, uh-huh. See, where the theme song's going through our head. Brian shows up and sits down. Brian dies. And I begin to think, what if we could have been a place of better belonging for him? What if he had more people who had more time to surround him and walk with him? What if that day, maybe he could have called somebody, even though I know he was with family. You know, maybe the story would be different. Maybe he'd still be here right now. And then that got me thinking to all of our peeps downstairs, all of the friends that I don't know all their names, but I know a lot of their names. And they're downstairs right now. and we're up here. And most of us are oblivious to what's actually happening downstairs. You don't know about the time Christine spends with everyone. You don't know about her days starting so early in the morning and running so late. You don't know when we are trying to manage to help somebody last minute, or all the people that come when we're closed and we're still opening up to feed them. You don't know these things, but they know. They know. They know that this is a place of love for them downstairs. But most of them feel uncomfortable coming up here. To us, sometimes it can be like, that situation at the back of the TTC that you don't want to get involved in, and can I get off the train or get off the subway, right? I want to avoid that. Most of them, when you're driving down the street, you'll see them panhandling. Do you know their names? Or are you one of those people that turn your head not to see them? I'm not trying to condemn anyone or judge anyone or say shame on you, because I've had my moments, but I've also gotten to know them. And as I spend time with them, I discover they are real people with real needs, with real hurts, real traumas, and if they only had somebody to walk alongside them. So here we go. Steve Stewart brought to us that there are two needs that everybody has: significance and belonging. David Roos brought to us the fact that gratitude cannot be maintained when it's singular, but it thrives and it expands in a community of people. Christine brought to us, guys, I'm lonely downstairs. I'm disconnected from our body. Guess what? So are her volunteers, who have been faithfully down here while the rest of us were at home during COVID. They were here, holding the ground, and they have been down there nonstop for years now. So it's all of this going through my head at my kitchen sink. Brian, Christine, the volunteers, more people. Some of them have come upstairs. Barney feels comfortable in this room. Barney felt comfortable to come with us to the retreat. Like, there are people who are downstairs regularly. And as I sat there, a story went through my head. Matthew 21, starting in verse 12. This story came to my mind as I was thinking about these things. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a robber's den." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Weird story to have come to mind when you're thinking about Brian and all of the people downstairs. But it did come to mind, and I asked the Lord, what is this that you're saying? Because in other versions of the scripture, it tells you that when he went in, there were, you know, those people selling doves, there were people taking money, there were people selling lambs, there was all of these things were necessary for what was required to come to God and to worship the Lord. But it became rote. It became something they did, but their hearts were no longer involved in it. They disengaged from the lamb. They disengaged from the dove. They disengaged for the purchasing of the firstborn. They disengaged from all of those things that were in there for the purposes that they had for reconciliation. And Jesus comes in, and you know what? He throws everything upside down, and he says, this is supposed to be a house of prayer. Well, what's the difference is the first one was transactional. Roll down the window. Here's your change. And the second one is relational, because prayer requires conversation. It's both talking and listening. And so the Lord is like going, hey, you got this all wrong. You missed the point here. All of this was to connect you in relationship with God and to point to me. Here I am now. Here I am right now. Here I am. Come, let's have a conversation. Let's reason together. Let's talk heart to heart, mind to mind. And so God is asking us to change how we look at things. You're a storyteller. You have a story to tell. That song that Chris slowed us down for to think about, if all the ocean was ink, every person a scribe, you are a storyteller. You are a scribe. You scribe the details of this great God who is all-inclusive for all people. The mystery of Christ, that he came for the lost and the broken, the fearful, the anxious, those who feel like they are cast out. He is here for them, and I am here to tell you. You are the storyteller of that story. You're the bringer alonger. You are the one who brings the story. And there is no one that's excluded from telling the story. Now, you might not paint the story in words, in articulation, but you could possibly do it in song. You could do it by cooking a meal and knocking on the door, and the meal tells it all. You can do it in the simple invitation. Hey, you want to hang out tonight? Do you understand what I'm saying? So there's this disconnect between upstairs and downstairs. And as I was pondering this, I began to feel like we are always doing something, but it's become transactional. It doesn't cost us anything up here to be downstairs, but it costs Christine everything. It doesn't cost us in here when we're in here, but let me tell you, my Sunday school staff, who has been going without breaks, because there's only five or six of them, it costs them every Sunday. And so we are busy in our world, and thank you, COVID, we have isolated ourselves. We are scared of each other, right? Scared of our neighbor. It's gonna cost too much. I don't have the emotional energy. But as David said in the communal gathering, when we actually go to, I need encouragement and I hear your story and you share a praise report or something God's done, guess what? I'm thankful for what God has done and gratitude rises in me. And then when I go and reach out, even though I know I cannot muster healing within myself, but when I showed up at the hospital, Jesus came. And when I make that phone call, even if it's 10 o'clock at night, he comes. And so when I need healing, guess what? I go out to heal. And when I need encouragement, I go to listen. And when I need community, I find somebody to invite in. Isaiah 58 and Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That's a story. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. That's a story. And freedom to the prisoners. That's your story. Right? And to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. That is a? Story. Whose story? Your story with him. His story in you. His story for them. His story for us. And it keeps going. Where does this come from? Song of Songs. May he kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. What is a kiss if it's not breath? May he kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Has God breathed on you with his spirit? You have the ability to communicate story. For your love, God, is better than wine. Whose love? The Lord's for us. The Lord's for us, the collective we out there. And your oil has a pleasing fragrance. And what is that? The anointing. That's the testimony of your story. On you, because of what he's done. And your name, God, your name, Jesus, is like purified oil. Therefore, the maidens love you. It is the breath of God in you. It is his love encounter for you and with you. It is his anointing upon you as you tell story. And it is his name that goes forth out there to what? Awaken love in everyone out there that feels like they are abandoned, lost, unseen, brokenhearted, cast down, blind, lame, forgotten. The untouchables. Do you remember being an untouchable? I certainly do. I remember. Lost in my shame, lost in my guilt, brokenhearted, feeling like nobody knew what I was going through. And yet, he was my refuge in the night season, the one I would cry out to. And as a little girl running into the church and sitting in a Catholic church in the pews all by myself, he met me there. I was never alone. And this story is for anybody who needs to know it. You are never alone. There is no situation he won't break into. I could keep going. Think about the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the persecuted. The list goes on. There's a whole lot there. We're not going to go to it. But I'm going to close with this quote. Well, I'm not going to close with it. I'm going to lead into a closing. Put up this quote from Bonhoeffer. Let's read it together, shall we? God is not ashamed of the lowly of human beings. God marches right in. He chooses people as his instruments and performs his wonders when we least expect them. God is near to the lowly. He loves the lost and neglected, the unseen and the excluded, and the weak and the broken. Bonhoeffer. He's not put off by whether we smell great or sound great. He's not expecting us to get it all right. All he wants us to do is tell our story. And in telling our story, we create a place of belonging, something that people can identify with. Right? So here's the story that Cambridge Vineyard is going to partake in right now. It's already started, unbeknownst to you. And so I'm going to bring you up to speed. On Wednesday, out of this remembering Brian and sitting there and this scripture and relationship and regulations, you know, out of pondering all of that, Isaiah 58 came forward. And I said to Christine, I want you to soak in this and weigh this out. But I believe God is saying to us, we need to shift what we're doing because everything that we're doing now, it's become so familiar. It's like wallpaper and it's like little check marks that we're getting, you know. I've completed this task. Bang. Doof. I've done this task. Bang. Done. But you know what? There's no relationship involved in it. Do you feel yourself doing that? I can do that very easily. It would be no problem for me to change Angus's, my grandson's, diaper or Saoirse's diaper just out of rote and have absolutely no conversation with them. I could do that if it was just a task. But in doing so comes giggles, you know, playtime, kisses on the feet first, because it's relational. This is a relational thing that I'm doing. I'm going to cleanse you relationally. And so here we go. As I camped on this and gave it to Christine to pray, I did tell Scott about what I was sensing and feeling. Then I brought it to the SLT and they prayed about it. All the way, we are stopping to discern what is God calling us into. And Christine briefly mentioned it, but we are moving to 2025 to have a different intention and focus on Sunday mornings. Downstairs, Christine is hopping and popping. She's gotten so many people who want her attention, and there are people who are so hungry for God and to grow in discipleship that she doesn't always have the time to mentor them. She does devotionals on the daily, and one of the things she said to me recently is, I am so thankful for Bruce Snyder. Bruce, did you know this? Why? Because when she's giving a devotional on Tuesday morning, Bruce is sitting there. And when people have questions, he quietly comes alongside during lunch and guess what? Begins to disciple them for her because she can't. And answers their questions. And so Christine is so thankful for Bruce Snyder, who makes himself available on Tuesdays. Well, on Sundays, we want to bring the hungry ones for Jesus, the hungry for community, upstairs. And we want to give those volunteers time to be gathered into the community so they don't feel so lonely and lost. They feel like other. Our family feels like other. Have you ever felt like other? So in 2025, we are going to try and experiment and shift what Sundays look like. Sundays will be about community with real intention. We are not going to intentionally serve food to those experiencing homelessness whose cupboards might be bare, but we will allow them to have showers if they need it. Okay? If they need it, somebody comes up here and they need food, we're not going to deny them food, right? But right now, we are straddling 2 days at this moment. Christine is letting the Sunday peeps know that Sundays, we're going to be up here. And if you're hungry for Jesus, come and do discipleship with us. But if you only want your needs met, we'll, like those physical needs, we'll meet those. If you don't want the relational side of it, we'll still do that. And we're doing that every other day of the week. So this week, we opened up Wednesday nights. And Wednesday nights has a new intention. It has a new focus. You can have dinner, and then you come to play. We boiled out board games, and I've got a ton of photos. Alin's going to be working on a collage, but we got a ton of photos of what Wednesday looked like. And it was so much fun down there that people were going, oh my gosh, this was the best time I ever had. And now why? Because the volunteers are not serving, they are relating and building relationship. Volunteers sitting at the table to do nothing other than to play a game. And guess who then got behind the counter to serve the food? Some of the peeps who usually come to get food. That is relationship. That is the beginnings of something new, because we are going to change our focus to be really intentional to create a belonging space. I'm sorry for all the Christianese. We're working on it. Okay, stay with us. All right? Because we do talk very different, and we've gotten almost too much in our heads and forgotten our hearts. Okay? So that's what we're going to do. That is what we're doing. And so what are we saying to you? We want to invite you into the power of community and the power of belonging. We want to invite you to experience God through others. People who might not even know God. One of the most powerful prayer encounters I had was with a man on the street who sometimes can be very difficult downstairs, who prayed for me in my driveway, and I was wrecked. Because here I was offering him food and meeting his needs, and he recognized my need, which was something so much deeper. And he prayed for me a prayer that the power of God hit me so hard, it surprised and shocked me. And so you have an invitation to come and be a part of telling a story, of being the storytellers and the scribes who actually their face lights up because they remember what it was like when God touched them. Or tears come to their eyes because they remember when God healed them. So that everyone has an opportunity to find significance and belonging. Amen? So won't you join us on Wednesday nights? Bring your favorite game. You don't have to leave it behind. And let's play together with our peeps in the community and get to know them and be a safe place for belonging so that when we throw a feast in 2025, our neighbors will also be here. Any questions? Question.
Wednesday nights. It used to be youth group. Can the youth join in and help out and hang out and play games Wednesday nights downstairs? So it's like, that
was going to happen. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Anyone can come as long as, you know, parents are there also, somebody responsible to just maintain. But everyone is welcome. Okay? And when they come up here, we want to have those relational bonds so that they're not coming into a room of strangers and we know them by name. Cool? We're making a safe place for our kids. We're trying to make a safe place for everyone. And this is going to unlock something for us. I'm telling you right now because there's other things I want to tell you about that I can't tell you today because we ran out of time. All right? What do you think, people? All right? Belonging and significance. Remember that. And let's be a really good place of belonging. And you're all blessed and anointed to tell a story.